been watching over the last few years, Ngāti Kaufata iwi have been very concerned about what is happening in terms of their waterways. And then not only have they been concerned about it, they've been prepared to do something about it. So I'm delighted to speak to one of their rangatira, Meihana, this evening, just to see what is happening in that area. Because if they've been taking environmental court action, that can be expensive. But if you want to get the outcome that, you know, that you believe has been denied you for such a long time, and it has, then you've got to do what you've got to do. Kia ora, Meihana. Nice to have you with us on Radio Wātea this evening.
Kia ora e te maraikura merepeka, tino pai ki te rongo kōrero i a koe, kia ora tātou.
What has been happening there lately? I've been reading, because this has been going, well, I'm not quite sure which case we took. Well, yeah, I better just let you explain to me. How have things been going there with you, with Ngāti Kaufata, in terms of some of the discharge, the treatment, the discharge of waste, etc., into some of the waterways there? Surely that's not still an issue.
Kia ora, Mepeka. Well, as listeners will probably know, Ngāti Kaufata have really been on the receiving end of generational cycles of industrial impacts on Aorohe. And that goes right back to the 1800s, of course, when the railway line was put through. And the commencement of the freezing works. And so the most recent tohi or sort of conflict that we've been in has really been part of the RMA process. And we have spent the last 2 years vehemently opposing what's known as a bioplant proposal. And the bioplant proposal is really about an incineration technique, which has quite significant and drastic impacts, both on the land and the water, but equally the air. So the proposal was to set up a form of recycling within Fielding Township, but the flawed technology was the biggest concern for Ngāti Kaufata. We've actually had generation after generation of impacts in terms of pollution in our river. The biggest one probably has been from the freezing works over years, but equally, you know, we have a railway line right by our marae. We have an airport just down the road. We have a whole range of industries that have contributed to really an accumulation of pollution of our rivers, of our streams, of our lands, and we decided to call this one out because enough is enough. And it's been a very tumultuous battle, actually, with the company, which has a massive international backing, and we've had to go in there really without too much money or anything else, but we won. And that's the important thing. And I wanted to just make that point, Metapika, to other iwi who might be in similar positions where they're having to go up against, you know, big companies and conglomerates who have a big team of experts and everything else, that it is possible to take a strong stance and to call these proposals out for what they are. I guess it's fair to say that our situation and our current kind of status is that we know that there's going to be increasing numbers of proposals like this one that they require mana whenua consents and approval and endorsement, and we're not willing to give that. So, you know, we say to people that if they're going to do that, then they do so knowing that Ngāti Kaufata will likely oppose anything that brings any kind of risk actually to our environment. And it's not just Ngāti Kaufata who are saying this, actually. It's our community groups who have had enough really of the pollution and the types of industries and businesses that don't really generate much for us as a community, but they bring a lot of, a lot of negative impacts for our environment.
Well, I mean, the RMA, Meihana, was designed to ensure that any development would not have negative impacts on the, on the environment in which that was going to be operating. So can I just ask you, within which township was this plant going to be sited?
Fielding. And so we have an
industrial... Was it actually Fielding?
In Fielding, and very close as well to the Orawa River, but also on land which sort of falls under our Te Tiriti or Waitangi claim. The same land where we had marae standing previously, iwi te kauma iwi, which was the marae for Ngāti Tūroa, one of our hapū for Ngāti Kaupapa. So that the land itself is under contention because that falls under the remit of our Te Tiriti or Waitangi claim. So again, just too many issues for us to let the consent application, you know, go through without any kind of opposition to it.
So when consents come to, you know, the regional council or even, yeah, well, to the regional council, the ones that are going to impact, which probably could be all of them actually if it's going to the regional council, do you have somebody, do these consents get sent and for you to peruse to say that one needs to be put aside straight away, you know, put that one to the side straight away? Do you as an iwi there get that opportunity?
We do, but the real gripe I think that we as an iwi have with the process as it was, and I know that the RMA has gone through some yeah. changes in recent months, which has to be a good thing, but the real difficulty that we as an iwi had with the process is that it required us to come out of our day jobs to give evidence. It required our kaumātua to come out of their warm houses during winter to testify in terms of bringing together their own experiences of earlier industries that polluted our waterways and everything else. And we felt that the process as it was actually was entirely beneficial for the applicant and not people like mana whenua and community groups. And so even in terms of the venue that we had to give evidence in, which is Manfield, and for listeners who are aware of the history of Manfield, that falls under the claim of Ngāti Kaupapa, or was land that used to sit within the kaitiakitanga of the iwi, which was then acquired through duplicitous means. Mm. And so the fact that we had actually been called to a place like Manfield to give evidence in order to prevent environmental, you know, damage of our whenua and wai, that in itself was actually quite traumatising, particularly for our kaumātua. Mm. So there are so many lessons that I believe need to be shared with our regional council horizons in order for them to know that if we're talking about a Te Tiriti or Waitangi-led process, that wasn't it.
Mm. And do you think, because you've won in the environmental court, do you think the owners of this plant will now, can they appeal, or is this it? The decision that was handed down?
They can, because it hadn't gone quite as far as the environmental court, so it was still part of a consent process. So they then withdrew their application, but they have subsequently indicated that they want to get more information from their experts, and they want to bring another request back to the table, which is, it's problematic for us at multiple levels, and it's problematic for the wider community as well. There are better ways for big companies with lots of money to spend their money in our community, and that's not one of them.
Yeah. Yes, I'm sure they'll come back at you. Well, I suspect they'll come back at you and then try to negotiate perhaps a better outcome for themselves. But you are right when you talk about the, you know, over the years, and this is intergenerational, the land, the air and the water pollution in and around there. And you're right about the freezing works, because my sisters and I, we used to swim, Mehana, behind Pool Street. I don't know if you know where Pool Street is.
I know Pool Street very well.
Yeah, and we used to swim behind there in the river, which I don't think is there anymore, but the river. And by 4:30, we'd have to get out, because then all of this discharge that used to come out of the big pipes into the river. Oh, you know, when I think of it now, the mind boggles, you know. But as kids, we didn't know much better, and we wanted to go for a swim, and that was it. But, you know, and to think that they're still, it might be that what they say, oh, it's treated and everything else like that. Well, and it'll never be treated well enough to be able to satisfy, I think, the iwi, Ngāti Kaupapa, because of what happened in the past.
Absolutely, Merepeka. You know, you raise a really critical point, because not long after that time that you were referring to, you know, our kaumātua placed the rāhui on the Orawa River. The rāhui is still in place, but that's because those contaminants from places like the freezing works and others had such a detrimental impact on the Māori of the Orawa River that it was no longer possible to do things like, you know, even going to catch, you know, freshwater kauda and all those sorts of things. Going for a swim is too much of a risk. So those are the kind of the measures that we have in place to say whether or not the Māori is of our awa is flourishing or languishing. And right now it's still languishing. So any of these types of consent requests that come to Horizons Regional Council, we're very, very critical of the majority, because most of them don't seem to give any kind of care about the Māori or the ecology of places like the Olawa River.
Well, I know that here within Te Arawa, Meihana, I mean, years ago, this was before our treaty settlements, I have to say, we couldn't afford to go to the Environmental Court, but certainly we did when they said they were going to continue to discharge tiko into the Kaituna, and then we went to the Privy Council, and we had to borrow money to go to the Privy Council to take our case there, and of course we won that, and from then on, and with the treaty settlements, we decided you have a go at us in terms of what it is that we want to do in the protection of and the Māori of the water and everything else like that. Then we will take you to court and to the Environmental Court, and that can be expensive. It can be expensive for us, but it can also be expensive for those who are trying to go ahead with what we don't want to see any longer. You know, any longer, just no regard.
No regard for the Māori of significance. But I think too, you know, we take a lot from the work that Te Arawa has led over the last few decades, actually, and equally with Waikato Tailu in terms of the Waikato River, Te Awa Tupua, Whanganui, the things that have been happening in more recent times, those need to be exemplar models that regional councils ought to be paying heed to, because at the moment what we're seeing is that for any kind of company or business that has some money stashed away, it's too easy for them to bring these proposals to regional council and to seek consent, knowing that iwi such as Ngāti Kaupata and others don't necessarily have the legal wherewithal to repel those challenges. We were lucky because we quickly, you know, came together as an iwi and we decided that we wanted to vehemently oppose that consent. But yeah, in some ways I think it's just the beginning of what will likely be a whole range of other proposals that are sort of, you know, proposing similar types of technologies which are questionable.
And in the local, in last year, in the local body elections, you've had a number of Māori candidates and members of your council, haven't you, on Horizons, I think, and also in the Manawatū.
Sure, on Horizons we have Wiremu Te Awiawe and Te Kine Hitaira, both outstanding leaders, but we've only just had our very first Māori wards elected into the Manawatū District Council, which is Bridget Bell from Ngāti Kaupata, which is a great outcome for us. But of course, people may remember in 2021 we ended up having to take up a protest to Tohi against the decision of the council to not have a Māori ward in the Manawatū District Council. So we got there in the end with that Tohi as well. And so we are making progress. And we, if anything, I think, you know, Meripika, we're catching up to where we needed to be 10 years ago. Mm. And the only way we can do that really is by working closely and in a really interconnected way with other like-minded groups across our local hapū and iwi, but also other community groups who are seeing that whilst opportunities might be good for business, we have to think really carefully about what the long-term implications and impacts might be for future generations.
And I do know, Meihana, that a lot of our young people are really interested in the environment. They're interested in their lakes and the Nafar and, they're really interested in land management because they know that they want to they're going to inherit this, of course, with their children and their mokapuna, and so they want to make sure that the environment is conducive to the growth of our whānau, and it shouldn't be despoiled by our generation and those particularly businesses out there who think, it's business as usual. Well, that is certainly no longer the case.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I think we only need to rewind the clock back to Cyclone Gabriel to really realise what's happening right now with the climate crisis and climate change, is that we're actually in a crisis right now. And the decisions that we make about businesses and all those types of moving parts of climate impacts are critical, because the decisions that are made now in terms of consents and everything RMA, actually the impacts will be felt either positively or negatively, you know, 10 years out from now. So I agree. I think our rangatahi this day and age have far more information and are far better informed than perhaps my generation ever were about making good decisions that reflect a degree of kaitiakitanga for papatua niku mdani mui.
Right. And listen, and how is everything else in there with your iwi health provider? Well, actually, I was going to say the Māori health provider now, and it's coming together nicely in your area?
It is. I think we've all got a tremendous sense of optimism about Te Ako Whai Ora in particular, and the changes that we will expect to see in terms of the provision of appropriate levels of service for health for Māori communities in particular. Here in the Manawatū, you know, we have Rangitāne, we have Ngāti Kaupata, Ngāti Raukawa, and then a range of other hapū and iwi as well. And we also have a large number of whānau who come from outside Aroha who have been here for, you know, for generations. So our view is that the system has to change, and it probably needed to change a long time ago, but that we've got optimism in these changes. Te Ako Whai Ora, we think, will finally deliver what Māori and our whānau here locally have been asking for far too long. I think we can all see the pressures on whānau, you know, in existing services. Like, I just give you an example, Medipec, of the doctors here in town, which is a collective of a number of different doctors who have all invested in that business, doesn't necessarily deliver the outcomes that we need for our people. And when I think about the growing number of our whānau whose first language is te reo Māori, it still irks us that we take our tamariki mokopuna into those places and there's no attempt made to pronounce the names of our tamariki mokopuna correctly. So that, for us, is a tohu that the system has to change. We need to be leading that, and we need to be the people at the forefront of that change as well.
That's true. You know, if we can determine what it is that we'd like to see, and then work towards that. Look, Mehana, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us this evening. It's been good catching up, I have to say, and also hearing about the great work that you're doing. And I hope all the whānau is well there.
Kia ora, Meripeke. Ngā mihi ki a koe.